D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5. The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Let's continue the college basketball conversation now. Let's go to our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, and welcome in Vanderbilt men's basketball player, A.K. Okereke. A.K., how are you? Thank you for joining us.
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So let's start by previewing your team's matchup tomorrow. Your opponent, McNeese, forces turnovers at the highest rate in the country. Your team does a great job of taking care of the ball, but how do you guard against that in tomorrow's game?
Yeah, I think it really just starts with an attention to detail and understanding it's going to be a super big part of the game. Kind of like you mentioned, we've always done a good job of taking care of the ball. But since it's going to be so top of mind for us, I think we're going to do a good job of that tomorrow. And it really just starts with being strong with the ball when you're attacking. And so we're definitely going to be ready for that, and we're looking forward to that aspect of the game.
Seemingly, all of the college basketball analysts, AK, were up in arms over your team's seeding in the NCAA tournament. They thought you deserved better. It is what it is at this point. But how did you feel when you first saw that the Commodores were given a 5 seed in the tournament?
Yeah, I mean, I think at first it's definitely a relief just to know, just to see your team, you know, on the screen. And, you know, I guess there was a bit of a surprise factor, but for us, we're really not too worried about that. And we even weren't too worried about it when we first saw it as well. Because at the end of the day, if we're a 4 seed or a 5 seed, we're going to play a really good team regardless. And so we didn't really want to think about that too much and rather just, you know, prep for McNeese when we saw we were going to play them.
We'll talk with A.K. Okereke. The Vanderbilt Commodores forward, senior forward. Now, AK, because you guys are not a particularly big team, but you guys do a great job at playing defense, what is the mentality going in when it comes to rebounding? Is it, because I explained to the guys, is it more so, hey, listen, we know we got to get our share of rebounds, but it's when do we get those rebounds that really count?
Yeah, for us, there's going to be a pretty big focus on offensive rebounding. We do like our size advantage. And so really just dominating that that aspect of the game is going to be really important for us. Obviously, creating more shots and more possessions is going to be key. And so that is kind of the specific battle that we're looking to win within the war of rebounding.
Now, what was your role coming in when you were recruited by Byington as a transfer? What was your role at the beginning of the season, and did it change as the season went on?
Yeah, I mean, for him, he really just pitched a role that can do a little bit of everything. So whether it's, you know, grabbing a board and getting us into our offense, you know, just making plays for myself and for others. And so in that aspect, I don't really think it's changed, but I think just the comfortability within the role has kind of just increased over time as I get more accustomed to the offense and obviously the players and my teammates. So,
now, how does Tyler Nichols' outside shooting, like it was against Arkansas, how did that help you guys, one, from a rebounding standpoint, but this spreading the court?
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. I mean, he's been hitting shots, you know, all year, and he's one of the best shooters in the country easily. And so for us, it's, we really understand that once guys are not going to come off him, and so it really just opens the court up for everyone else and, you know, makes plays easier. And then once someone does make that mistake and kind of plug off him, then it's just an easy kick to him, and, you know, he's going to make it 9 times out of 10.
We're talking to A.K. Okereke, Vanderbilt forward, as they get set for the big dance tomorrow against McNeese. And A.K., first of all, congratulations on just a great season, you and your team. I got a chance over at the Huber Center, got to tour with a bunch of former players, and we actually cornered you in the lounge that was there right in front of the pool table, and you had to admit in front of all the former players that you were not an expert at pool. Has your game developed at all during the course of the season?
No, I'm actually not a big pool guy. I never have been. I'm more of like a ping pong guy, and I think there's two sides to that same table, so I kind of just patiently wait until the pool table turns into a ping pong table.
Okay, so when the ping pong table comes out, that's when you head over to the table. That sounds like a good plan.
Yeah. Well, yeah, definitely.
Let me ask you about some things I've noticed. First, you come over from Cornell, and it's a unique situation Chris Mignon really made a great transition to Vanderbilt last year, was a big part of their team, and you were teammates for a while with him. Did you get any input from him on the adjustment from going Ivy League to the SEC?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he was there on my visit, spent some time together, talked about his experience there, and, you know, that was definitely a key aspect in you know, sealing the deal, me coming to Nashville. So, you know, my time with Chris at Cornell was really fun. We won a lot of games together. We had a good season. And, you know, it was definitely good to kind of get that insight from him. And so that definitely played a big role.
So what is the biggest difference in your mind? Because we've seen a lot of guys that have gone. It may not have been something that people thought of 20 or 30 years ago, the transition from going from the Ivy League to the SEC so smoothly. So what did you notice the difference? Because you can name a lot of guys that have done it here in recent years with all the transferring that goes on.
Yeah, I'd say the biggest, it is different stylistically. Most Ivy Leagues kind of run some sort of variation of Princeton offense. And here in the SEC, high major is just a lot different, a lot more free-flowing. So just kind of adjusting that style of play has been good, at least for me. And obviously the athleticism is a big part of it too. You kind of go from being one of the more athletic guys in the Ivy League to, you know, just having to adjust to where everyone is actually is pretty big, athletic, strong, et cetera. So just kind of making slight tweaks and adjustments to my game is what I had to do early on.
Now, basically every Vanderbilt game, the broadcasting team will talk about your entry into Cornell. When you went to the school and you weren't recruited to play basketball, you work your way onto the team, you become a really good player for them. So we've heard the outsiders talk about it, but from yourself, what was the biggest moment when you realized that, hey, you know, I'm not just here to go to school, which was your main goal when you go to Cornell, but you're like, you know, this hoop thing could work out.
Yeah. I'd have to think about if there was an exact moment at which it clicked. I mean, I would say there are a couple of key moments. One, I guess just like actually getting the workout itself was a process, and that was ongoing. And then once we're kind of able to get that scheduled, kind of just that period from doing the workout, and I would kind of, you know, show up to practices, not really knowing what the future would hold really. And so that was also an interesting period. And then kind of being told that I was on the team officially, probably after a couple of weeks, I think that was probably obviously the key pivotal moment in which I knew that there was some sort of security, at least for the rest of the year. But I think another kind of moment too is just like playing on scout team and kind of having the freedom to kind of show my game and what I could do. I think was probably pretty important in terms of kind of solidifying some sort of role for the next year. So there are a handful of moments that I'd say kind of weave together and helps me, you know, get a role for the following year.
Now, I have to ask you, who taught you the fundamental moves that you use in the paint? Because it's really unique. And Derek and I have talked about it. When you get our age, you're going to be schooling people at any rec center because those moves age great, right? Because the up fakes, the up and under, the little jump hooks that you've got, the turnaround fadeaway. Who taught you those fundamentals? Because they have proven to be really effective for you.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I've always watched a lot of basketball. And so really just watching all the best players. I think one thing that I really picked up early on is just understanding that all of the best players have some sort of in-between game that's not like a layup or something on the rim and a three. And so for me, it was trying to figure out what that in-between would be. And it's also kind of evolved over my career. Early on, it was more of like a push shot around the rim. And then kind of as my game matured, it became more of like a fadeaway and jumpers. And something that's kind of developed over time. I spent a lot of time working on it during my kind of a prep slash gap year in between high school and college. So that was probably the most important year in which I really kind of developed my skill and specifically like those moves.
Okay, for my last one, then I'll throw it back to the guys. But the mindset that you have and your teammates have to just make the most of the opportunity, you know, the unique thing about the NCAA tournament is you have to be at your best. And as you mentioned, there's nobody that's in the tournament that can't win a game. That's been proven now, whether it's a one seed or a 16 seed. So What do you guys talk about for the collective mindset, the right way to play your best when it comes time?
Yeah, it's really just a two-pronged approach. Kind of like you mentioned, everyone that's here is supposed to be here, and they're good enough to win. And so we really can't have any sort of lackadaisicalness, and we really have to be on our highest gear and playing well, playing hard, playing focused. But also on the other side of that, when we do those things, when we have a high attention to detail and we rebound and we take care of the ball, like, we're one of the best teams in the country and we can beat anyone. And so kind of just meshing those two together has been pretty important for us. And kind of like you referenced at one point, that we are playing better as the year goes on. We played some of our best basketball in some of our last games. So definitely a good time to be gelling.
Now, basically, AK, what Willie was saying is those great moves that you have now, those low post moves, reminiscent of Hakeem Olajuwon, when you get out of age, you ain't going to have those no more. You're going to have like a 5-inch vertical, and you're going to be a little bit slow. So that's basically what he's saying in a nice way.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying at the rec center, those moves are particularly effective in pickup. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I gotcha.
AK O'Carrick.
D-Maze wishes he has those moves.
Exactly.
AK O'Carrick has been our guest on D-Maze. Vin Gidendonick. The Commodores open the NCAA tournament tomorrow afternoon as a 5 seed against McNeese in the South Region. AK, thank you for your time. Good luck tomorrow against McNeese and beyond.
Definitely. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
615-737-1025. As I mentioned, Vanderbilt takes on McNeese in the NCAA tournament tomorrow, a 2:15 p.m. tip-off. The pregame show starts here at 1:45 on 1025 The Game. It's presented by Gary Force Acura. We will be on the air for an incredibly brief version of D-Mace Vin Gidendonick. It may actually be a pregame to the Predators pregame show featuring me and Max Hurst. That may be the plan tomorrow. Yes.
But if Vanderbilt advances, Adam, then Derek and I are going to have a segment about – I didn't want to use the term with AK because he's not as old as us, but I mean it as a compliment. AK looks like a guy – what we call it is the old man game, right? There's always that old guy at the rec center that has those moves, and you're like, where did this guy come from? Like, he's not – It's a little bit old school, right, when you watch him play.
You use
Olajuwon. I think that's a great example. He's not quite as much back to the basket, but he's got some of that same stuff. So many varieties of pivots and moves and fadeaways. He reads the defense. It's fun to watch.
Well, I hope he will take it as a compliment one day. He may not take it as a compliment.
D-Maze started talking about his vertical. I was like, wait a minute, come on.
Yeah, Derek took it too far.
Willie, that's basically what you were saying. We can't get up like we used to.
No, I could definitely not get up like I used to.
Not out of bed, not on the court, not out of that chair you're sitting in.
Oh, man.
Those days do come for everybody.
Oh, yes. Man. 615-737-1025. It is March Madness, so we are going to do a Take It to the Bank / Silly Underdog Picks mashup for the round of 64 in the NCAA tournament. You can play along with us. We will do that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.